This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Rise.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
You know, it's the name of the show is the morning roast. And I'm literally trying to get my morning roast right now. I got Carter yelling at me. I got Zach back there just hanging out, eating some donuts. Matt Nahegan, you know, producing too. I just want to get my cup of coffee. They tell me to run my ass in here. I was like, all right, I'm back.
Oh, my God. I just pulled a Shasky too.
All right, just want my coffee. It's all right. Can you get that for me in a second, Carter? You don't have to answer on air. It's all right. Just please.
That's what producers are for.
Thank you. Shout out to those watching on Twitch and YouTube. We are streaming on those platforms. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. That voice you hear on the other side of me, well, that's Sam Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky. Joe Spadoni right here. We got Bonte Hill joining us in the studio in the next hour at 9 o'clock for the entire hour, as he does each and every Friday. Warriors pre- and post-game host for NBC Sports Bay Area, and also the Giants as well, who start a three-game series in our nation's capital against the Nationals, who have won 7 in a row, by the way.
Oh, so they're due for a loss.
So, well, there you go. By the way, speaking of losses, I think the A's have lost like 8 in a row. The Padres have lost like 8-plus in a row, something like this. Thank you for the coffee, Carter.
Really?
I needed it.
The Padres clubhouse has fallen apart? Who could have seen that coming?
Relax. Let's.
No, I'm absolutely going to take my victory lap on that.
You're going to take the victory lap in May 23rd on the Padres? And then
I'm starting my victory lap. Let's go with that.
Fast forward in a couple months where they're going to be like winning the division or be right there.
Well, then, yeah, then I'll halt my victory lap. But I've been telling you guys, they have their honeymoon year with their new manager. And then because Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado can't get along, that clubhouse is going to implode on itself. They got into a fight in the clubhouse last night. Not those two, but someone did.
Maybe it galvanizes the team.
It's wash, rinse, repeat with the Padres.
You're saying like it's a bad thing. Could be a good thing.
Oh, no, I think it's delightful to watch. I'm just, you know, told you.
You know, it's delightful to watch that hair because you can see it from one Sam Lubman. It's beautiful. It is thick and it has mane everywhere, like a Tormund Giants mane. Shout out Game of Thrones. You like that, right?
Goes well with the Miami shirt I'm wearing today.
We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. And coming up in the next 20 minutes, your opportunity to win a 4-pack of said Giants taking on the Atlanta Braves on Saturday, June 7th. That is Pride Day for San Francisco Giants.
Hell
so your
yeah.
opportunity, you got to be calling number 5. I'm not going to play the sounder because the next time we play the sounder, it's going to be opportunity and I'll give you the contest line then. In the meantime, we've been talking Jonathan Kuminga and Steve Kerr because Steve Kerr has been having a couple of interviews, one with Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, our guy here at Odyssey as well, TK Show Podcast, and also
TK.
Yesterday on with Willard and Dibbs. And we're going to be playing about 5 minutes of that back and forth between Steve Kerr and Jonathan Kuminga here in just a second because it's really good stuff and we're going to react to it. But I'm tired of just the blame game. Oh, it's Steve's fault. Oh, it's JK's fault. If I'm a Warriors fan, can you just figure it the hell out? I'm so tired of everything just being split in two. It's Republican, it's Democrats, it's Marvel, it's DC, it's JK, it's Kerr.
Pepsi
Can't we all just get along? Please, for the love of God.
Jeez.
Let's just play the back and forth now. You got it, Carter. It's Willard, Dan Dibley, Steve Kerr on Jonathan Kuminga.
I wanted to ask you this because when you said that you know, you guys have been trying to kind of hammer home the way that you want him to play, it felt to me like you were at least insinuating that you know, you guys want him to play one way and maybe he doesn't. And but I don't want to put words in the mouth. You tell me, is there a bit of a disagreement between the staff and Jonathan in terms of how he should be playing?
I don't think there's a disagreement. I think that there is maybe a different view, you know, from his perspective and what he's comfortable doing. He's obviously a natural scorer. You saw that in the Minnesota series when he got his opportunity. He scored really well, and that's what he's most comfortable doing. But with our team and the way we're built and with Steph and Jimmy, you know, they're going to dominate the ball. What we need from that spot is rebounding. And, you know, we need the passing, the connection. And, yes, we need the scoring, but it has to come within the context of, you know, what we're really good at and what we – you know, we're really great at for the last 2 months, you know, with Jimmy and Steph. So I think, you know, I said it to Tim yesterday. I mean, young players take some time to sometimes to figure out, you know, who they are and what kind of player they are and what their role is. And it's not always easy. And he, as I said, JK's 22. And I think there's plenty of growth ahead, but it's never an easy road when you're sort of going down a path like this.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question to come out of that conversation for a lot of people and wonder if this is a can't do it or a won't do it kind of a conversation. In other words, these things you're asking him to do, you believe he's capable of doing them, right?
I do, but it's, again, it's, you know, we're you go down the path and you try to get, you know, some kind of habits that are built, and, you know, you want them to be consistent. And so you know, in year four, you would hope that those things are coming. And I would say they have been inconsistent. I'm talking about the rebounding front and taking care of the ball. And so, look, I mean, I've tried to explain this, you know, to our fans and to you guys over the course of the year. But the way the team is built, you know, we've got two guys in Jimmy and Steph who are two of the very best in the league, and they're going to have the ball in their hands. We have two guys in Steph and Draymond who are going to turn the ball over quite a bit. It's just kind of the nature of their games. And so, you know, the fit with Jonathan, and I've been very open with him about this as well, the fit is a little tricky when he's a guy who needs the ball and he's a guy who turns the ball over a lot. You know, so it's you throw all that stuff together. And as a coach, you just say, all right, what's the best way for us to win? How does the puzzle fit together? And that's why we ended up kind of in the situation we did, where he fell out of the loop a little bit. And, you know, not his fault, but, you know, again, young player, we're trying to win. We went down the path we felt gave us the best chance to do that.
You made a great comp to Aaron Gordon on the TK pod, and we were playing that sound before, and you even mentioned that Aaron Gordon had to go elsewhere to kind of start to figure it out. Do you think that Jonathan Kuminga could develop into doing the things that you need him to do here in Golden State over the course of the offseason and, you know, coming back with the veteran core, or will he have to try and find this sort of role elsewhere?
Well, I mean, he's definitely capable of doing that here, and that's obviously what we're going to be focused on, you know, as a coaching staff. JK told me he's going to be around here a lot more this summer. He hasn't been around our facility much the last couple summers, but he's got a couple of young girls. He's much more settled down now, wants to be in one place, and so he's going to be in our gym, and we're going to hammer home those points with him. And and try to get him to understand all those loose balls, all those long rebounds. Like, you know, with his athleticism, those are plays, for him to help us win. You know, he's got to get those rebounds. He's got to chase down those loose balls. He's got to run the floor, sprint the floor. And if he does all these things, then there's no question he can find a better role and find a better fit, you know, next to Jimmy and Steph and Draymond. So that's the goal as a coaching staff to try to help him achieve that and add those things to his game to give himself more of a chance to play.
That's an interesting conversation it sounds like you guys have, because, Steve, if we had a nickel for every time a listener called us and said, boy, J.K. must want out of here. Like, does J.K., you think, does he want to stay a Warrior?
I think the number one thing is that J.K. and I have a very good relationship. We talk all the time. We like each other. This is all just basketball. This is not a case of J.K. coming in saying, hey, I got to get out of here. I want this, I want that. This is just trying to make this fit and trying to make this work. But every player, every young player, even the older guys, like they want to fit in well with what's happening. And so I think there's got to be part of J.K. that thinks about going elsewhere, and would he get more of an opportunity? And those are all very normal human emotions to think about.
You've talked a lot about, J.K. not necessarily fitting with Jimmy Butler and Steph and Draymond all in the court at the same time. Is that fit something that can be developed and nurtured now that you're going to have, theoretically, all four guys in a training camp and leading into a season?
100%. I'm going to give that time next year. Assuming J.K. comes back, I will explore that right from the beginning. We didn't have that luxury this year. Jimmy arrived and J.K. got hurt almost at the exact same time. And from the time Jimmy arrived, we were basically in the playoffs. Every game was huge for us. And so while J.K. was out, as I've explained many times, we got really good. We got really good with Jimmy on the floor and J.K. injured, and we had to continue down that path and keep trying to win every game just to make the playoffs. So next year with a training camp and an 82-game season, absolutely. I will give that lots of time and try to make that fit as best as possible.
And that was Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, on yesterday with Willard and Dibbs. Really good stuff. If you missed any of that interview, you can find it in its entirety on YouTube, where we post all of our interviews there, and also, again, the free Odyssey app. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. It's Spadoni, and it's Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky. All right, Sam, you just heard that there. That last little piece for me, that last little piece is what I'm going to focus on. If you get a full training camp in a full 82-game season, I'm confident that this could work. I am. Maybe that's irrational confidence. Maybe it's just, optimism abound, glass half full kind of energy. But you know what? I'm tired of the negative thoughts. I'm tired of the blame game. Get these guys in there. I know Jimmy's a great leader, and I saw Jimmy and J.K. thrive at moments together, because Jimmy said that. He's like, I know we could play well together.
Jimmy was very complimentary of J.K.
And he was very, and you know what? Say what you will about Jimmy Butler as a leader when it came to the Miami Heat and the young guys and how it all went down there and Minnesota and all that. I'm just judging what I've seen about him as a Golden State Warrior. And as a Golden State Warrior, he showed tremendous leadership for the younger guys, the way he spoke about them, the way it seems like Jonathan Kuminga's spoken about him. I know that could work. And I've seen it work with Steph prior to the injury. So if that works, and it worked with Jimmy, I believe those three could work well on the floor together. I believe that. I do.
I think it's the Warriors' best chance to maximize these last 2 years. Because, again, as we talked earlier in this week, if you're looking for a bold trade, I mean, first off, the trade has to be there. I know we talked about Giannis happening there. And, if you're open to that possibility of swapping, it would probably be Jimmy Butler for Giannis and other pieces around that. The big bugaboo there is not so much
you know, would Warrior fans do it? Absolutely, the Warriors would do that. The Bucks are not signing up for 2 years of Jimmy Butler showing up and not caring.
I don't know. They're not doing that. He upset them multiple times. Jimmy Buckets.
Yeah, but if Jimmy Butler goes to the Bucks with a bunch of who's it's what's it's around him, he's not showing up every day to try to ball out. He's showing up every day to collect a paycheck for the next
Trust
2 years.
No one would be happier from Jimmy Butler going to Milwaukee than Pat Riley. So you go from Miami to San Francisco to Milwaukee.
The amount of I told you so that Pat Riley would be feeling. So that all is to say that, you know, moving.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Jimmy Butler's probably not an option because the moves that you would move him for aren't going to be there. And the moves that are going to be there aren't going to be moves that you're making. So what that basically says is, at the end of the day, the Warriors kind of have no choice if they want to get the most out of these next 2 years with Steph to figure it out with Kuminga. Like, so your last hope is, can we make training camp be that way where everyone comes together, everyone plays together, we figure out the patterns, the rotations, what works, who plays with when, for how long. It comes down onto that. And there I put, there's pressure on Jonathan Kuminga to kind of, you know, I hate using this term, but I'm going to use it kind of, you know, lightly here, fall in and be the guy the Warriors want him to be. But I'm putting a lot of pressure on Steve Kerr and this coaching staff. Like, look at what you have here in Kuminga. Truly analyze the tools he has and actually try and get a little open-minded and creative about how you can utilize his skill set. You know, if he thinks he could be more than just a rebounder, figure out a way to utilize that skill set that he's trying to bring to the table. Because, again, Kuminga wants to be a certain player. The Warriors want him to be a certain player. There has to be a middle ground. No more of this, either this or that. You know, there is a halfway point where you can marry the things that Kuminga wants to do with the things that the Warriors want Kuminga to do.
888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text. And by the way, we are going to be giving you out a 4-pack of tickets here. That's the sounder. That's the sounder right there. Saturday, June 7th is Pride Day, and the Giants play the Atlanta Braves at Oracle Park. The first 15,000 guests receive a Pride bucket hat, and now is your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to that game, courtesy of Gilead. Be caller number 5 on the contest line, 415-523-4652. That's caller number 5 to 415-523-4652. And as always, you can get your tickets at SFGiants.com. Com. All right, let's go to some of the phone calls here. We got some heavy hitters on the line. Let's first go to Big Smoothie.
Oh, I love Big Smooth.
Not Big Smooth. Big Smoothie, as Steiny calls him, because he always calls into Steiny and Goo. But we love you, Big Smooth. Good morning.
Well, hey, he's our mispronunciator of the year. So
that is
he's true. A roaster, not a Steiny.
Gui Sanchez?
Let's throw Gui Sanchez in there.
Just kidding, Big Smooth.
Let's throw Big Smooth in there. What's up, Big Smooth?
I love it. Hey, good morning, gentlemen. But let me tell you something, man. Hearing this shows you the disconnect with the Warrior fan base and reality. He's telling you, I need someone who can rebound from this position. We're only looking at it, oh, look, he can score 20 points. And in that, when Jimmy got hurt, or when Steph got hurt, yeah, we needed 20 points from anybody. Could have been anybody. But here's the thing. He's telling you what fits best for the way this team is going to run. Doesn't matter what we think, who we'd like to see. He's telling you, for us to really be effective in this league, we need someone who can rebound. He said it. JK needs the ball a lot, and he turns the ball over a lot. That does not work with the pieces. I don't know what we have to hear. It's not personal. JK, get your young athletic butt in there and go give me 9-10 rebounds. And we're not having this conversation, guys. We're not having this conversation. He is not willing to rebound. I love JK, but you got to explain to me, year 4, why he's not willing to go in there and rebound. Why is Tyus out rebounding him, gentlemen? Rebounding is not about ability. It's about a willingness. He doesn't want to. So what? We're going to fit him in there so he can do what he wants to do, half of what. It doesn't work like that. He's an employee. You don't get to say what you like to do and what the company needs you to do. I don't understand the disconnect. But anyway, y'all have a great day.
Well, hold on. Big Smooth. You don't think there's a... No, he's gone.
He hung up.
He's pretty smooth that way. So it sounds like there is no middle ground, it seems like, from based off purely Big Smooth's call. There is no halfway point that both sides can meet here because... Again, I feel like the whole thing we've been going with here, Spadoni, all morning long is there a way to make this work or is it over? I feel like it's over if you're in kind of Big Smooth's camp where there's just two sides, no one's giving in. I like to think that there's a human element that we can kind of bank on here, and maybe I'm being a little, getting up on that hopium by saying this, but I like to think there is a middle ground. I like to think there is a way that we can use these next few months to really just kind of hammer it out. How can we get Jonathan Kuminga up to that level that we want to see him be at? I'm holding out on that because I don't think there is a better option for this team. I feel like if you move off Jonathan Kuminga, there is a big risk of potentially making this team worse going into next year than it is right now. And let me crunch my numbers here really quick. Yeah, that is not a great way to win a championship, by getting worse.
Well, they want him to be Sean Marion, or they want him to be Aaron Gordon. Those guys weren't the players and the champions until they moved on to different teams. Now, Sean Marion was an all-star in Phoenix for those 9 years. I think he was a four-time all-star. And then he ended up winning that championship with the Dallas Mavericks back in 2011 when they took out the Heatles and the Dirk run. We all remember that. And then obviously Aaron Gordon drafted to Orlando. That was a dumpster fire. They just weren't very good. Goes on to Denver, finds a role there. Wins a championship with Jokic, with Murray, and he has been a major piece, obviously, so much so that he's playing through a grade 2 hamstring strain in Game 7, which is absolutely insane. He's 22 years old, Jonathan Kuminga. It does feel like, though, when you listen to Steve Kerr and what he says is, hey, I wanted to do these things. It sounds like Jonathan Kuminga isn't at a place where he wants to do those things, or he just wants to focus on scoring. Isn't that okay just to say that they're both right in their own ways and how they feel, and to just move on then? Is that what it's coming down to? Steve feels one way. JK feels another. Warriors fans are mad because they want JK to feel some type of way because they want him to, maximize the Stephen Curry window. And then on the opposite end, there's a lot of Jonathan Kuminga fans that want Steve Kerr to, do something else or play different combinations, or I don't know what it is. But both of them are basically entrenched in how they both feel, it seems like, JK and Steve Kerr. And you know what? That's okay. Sometimes you're entrenched and you agree to disagree and you move on. That happens in life. It happens in life.
You say it's okay in, like, I guess, but at the same time, and like, Bossman came in and at the break, it was kind of talked about, you know, fans are crushing Kuminga for not falling into this, to the role that the Warriors want for him. You know, why are we still angry at Kuminga? And I told him basically, if they don't make this work out, my anger is not going to be so much with Kuminga or the coaching staff. Obviously, I'm putting the pressure on both sides to come together and work this out and not lead to a divorce here. But yes, sometimes, you know, that is the natural order of things. Sometimes it just gets to a point where, you know, Jonathan Kuminga's goals and desires don't line up with what is possible with the Warriors. It's very possible that is the reality that we are facing with ourselves here. And to your point, yes, is that okay? Sure, that is life. Sometimes that's just how things go. For me, though, watching as a Warrior fan, for me, though, watching on the outside in and the expectations I have for this team over the next couple years, am I going to be mad? No. But as you, I'm sure you have said as a father, Spadoni, I'm just going to be very disappointed.
Of course. Yeah.
And I'm going to be very upset. It's going to bum me out to see this all fall apart. If it does indeed fall apart this summer, I'm going to be bummed out by it. I'm not going to sit here and then just point fingers at everybody, because at that point, it's moot. You got to figure it out. And again, it's not like Kuminga is going to walk for nothing. That would really suck if he did. You know, they are going to get hopefully something back from him for him in return. So whatever that is, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But yeah, it will feel like the best opportunity will have slipped away, and the Warriors gonna have to spend these next 2 years basically trying to find a second or third best way to get Steph that fifth ring.
We're up against it. We're gonna take Brian and Palo Alto, Matt and 680 on the other side, 888-957-9570. I want to put a bow on this Jonathan Kuminga talk and kind of toss in Jimmy Butler, who I don't know how Warriors fans are feeling about Jimmy right now, because there's a lot of people that say that he can't be that number two on a championship squad with Steph. There's some people that still believe that. Where are we at with Jimmy Butler? I want to get Sam Lubman's thoughts on that, plus Bonta Hill joining us in about 35 minutes at the top of the hour for the full hour in studio. Bonta Hill, Warriors host for Warriors pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports Bay Area and also for the Giants as well. In the meantime, this segment was brought to you by Valvoline. Here comes summer. Before you hit the road for that well-earned getaway, stop by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Certified techs will have you in and out in about 15 minutes. No appointment needed, and you stay in your car. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com for Bay Area locations and coupons.
Not soon enough. They'll still drop one of the games.
They did, but they won the next three. It was a four-game series.
Yeah,
right?
They won three
after. Well, it's fine. Take three out of the four. It's not bad. Brian and Palo Alto, Matt and 680. We'll get to you in a second. The number to call or text is 888-957-9570. We were talking about Jonathan Kuminga, Steve Kerr. You know, we're over the who's at fault in all this. Can it work?
Blame game solves nothing at this point.
Is it, you know, repairable at this point? Or is it irreparable, if you will? That's the question. And I want to get into the Jimmy Butler angle in all of this, because when you made the trade for Jimmy Butler, the expectations were that, okay, we're going all in on this. To hell with the two timeline stuff. And as far as I'm concerned, the two timeline stuff was fugazi anyways. It's all about Stephen Curry. Once Stephen Curry's gone, you ain't winning a title. Just spoiler alert. That's just not happening. Unless you bring in another superstar or you draft one of them. And again, you kind of whiffed on your last two draft picks that were that big. Sure. Again, if you get Lanta Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Sorry, it's got a little congestion.
But I'm sure the Milwaukee Bucks will tell you, yeah, Giannis has been great for those first-round exits these last few years. So it doesn't mean everything, even if you get said player.
Fugazi, whatever you want to call it. It's a woozy, it's a wazzy.
When was that? Sam Lubman has drops?
I think that was the April 1st, I think, when I was in for
February.
February. Okay.
Well. Hey, I'm Lubman. Yeah. I'm going to be at Freedman's and Pliers this Saturday with Mark Grant.
That's also me.
Hey, Freedman's is sick.
Love
I don't care
Freedman's.
What anyone says.
Dude, that walk-in fridge.
Those live-working vignettes are
love
awesome.
The live-working vignettes.
Absolutely.
Don't get me started on those rotating chickens, too.
Don't get me started on Brian and Palo Alto.
Oh, my favorite.
Because I wanted to hear from Brian when it came to the Brock Purdy contract. I'm sure he's feeling a lot better about it now after looking at the details. We're focusing on the Dubs right now, though.
On the River Islands guest line.
And he has thoughts, thank you, on Steve Kerr and JK. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think that it's been almost half a decade now. 4 years. If there was a middle ground, it would have been found. And so it's, you know, the bottom line is at no point in Kuminga's time in Golden State have they ever been a winning team when he played a key role ever. In fact, for three straight years, when he was hurt, the Warriors played by far their best basketball when he was not in the rotation, when he was out of the rotation. And so my take on Kuminga is super talented, not a winning basketball player, because he doesn't want to do – he just wants to score. That's how he views his identity. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to do all the other things that obviously Steve has wanted him to do. And obviously, like, I'm not sure having the owner, like, stroking his ego in parallel, right, as Steve's trying to ask this guy to become a winning player was super helpful from Lakeup, but – yeah, he's not a winning player. And so, like, there's not, you said it's all falling apart, and it's not falling apart. Like, if we can get a decent player back that can, like, shoot, that'd be great. And Jimmy, he broke his butt in the playoffs. So, like, you know, he
break his butt.
Oh, it was a butt bruise, Brian. I get those all the time falling down.
It's a multi-week out. It was a severe injury, like, for a, like, to happen in a playoff series. So
hard to ball with a bum
butt.
I think that
you know, right now, if Steph doesn't get hurt, they're playing in the Western Conference Finals, is my take. And we're not talking about, oh, is Jimmy good enough or whatever else. I don't think we'd be talking about that. But
yeah, but Brian, real quick, yeah, I don't want to cut you off. But I'll say this. Steph, in part, and why this is it. Oh, did Brian hang up? It's okay.
He's got to get to work.
No, it's okay. I wanted to say this because that's all true. If Steph, like, if you're going to go back to, hey, if Steph didn't get hurt, would you be in the Western Conference? Yeah, but he did get hurt. Why did he get hurt? Because of the wear and tear.
He's too old.
Yes, that's the problem. And then you're going to get even older getting rid of Kuminga? Like, I don't know. I just don't buy that whole thought process of he's not a winning player. He's a great athlete. We were right there with Steph. If he just doesn't get hurt, well, he did get hurt because he relied on old guys throughout. Am I going to be relying on Moses Moody? Am I going to be relying on Quinton Post, Guy Santos, Brandon Podziemski that much? That much? You believe in those guys that much? That's, hey, we had a caller earlier that says believes in those guys heavily. I'm very skeptical considering those what guys, we all just watched, and we all agreed on they weren't ready for the spotlight. The spotlight was too bright for all those players come playoff time. They did not rise up to the occasion. Now, JK, he got the spotlight on him in that Houston Rockets series, and it was bad. And he had a spurt here and there, and then they pulled him. He had an extended runway, no Steph. It was him and Jimmy for the most part. And he looked like he was great scoring the basketball. He was getting some loose balls here and there. But, again, not enough for the liking of Steve Kerr, for Brian and Palo Alto, and some of the fans when it comes to the rebounding aspects and all that. So,
well, this is where I do think the onus does fall on Jonathan Kuminga because, again, this isn't me trying to play the blame game here. This is me trying to – I want to move this forward. I had a boss once upon a time who said he hated playing the blame game because it does absolutely nothing. You could sit around for an hour blaming everybody under the sun. All you've done is just waste an hour of not solving the problem. So right now this is on how do you solve the problem. And I do think this is where that onus does fall on Jonathan Kuminga a little bit of, you know, we had a caller early on who said he's got to kind of get along here a little bit. I do think, yeah, there is some level of you do have to get with the program on Jonathan Kuminga. But at the same time, as I said ad nauseum, there is still responsibility on the coaching staff to figure out a way to better integrate him. You'll utilize his talents. If you're not using him correctly, that I do believe falls on the coaching staff. If, you know, they have this Ferrari here and they're trying to drive him out in the dirt and use him as a farming equipment.
Shout out Lamborghini and shout out Ferrari and shout out John Deere tractors, if you will. How about that? Brock Purdy, isn't he a John Deere guy? He might be. Brock Purdy also spoke with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, quarterback of your San Francisco 49ers.
Krebs Kuminga conversation is like, yeah, we had Brock Purdy on the station yesterday, and it's hardly getting brought up. That's just how big this Kuminga thing is.
Well, it's because, let's keep it a buck.
It is a big
Brock Purdy's not an incendiary guy. He's not going to say anything that's outrageous. He's not Aaron Rodgers, all right?
No,
he's not going on ayahuasca trips, although it would be great for, you know, just like sound bites.
And he's not Jonathan Kuminga because, you know, Brock Purdy knows what his role is. It's, you know, do everything. Okay. Just, you know, his role is go win a Super Bowl, but, you know, do it perfectly.
You're telling me that Kyle Shanahan has put Brock Purdy in better positions to succeed than Steve Kerr's done with Jonathan Kuminga?
Wow, that's a take right there. Oh. Ooh, I need some time to marinate on that.
Better
one.
Coach, Kyle Shanahan.
Well, no, if we're doing better coach, it's Steve Kerr all day long.
I know. I'm kidding, people. I'm kidding. Although, stock up, stock down with coaches around the Bay Area. I think stock up right now. Bo Mel, baby.
Oh.
Bob Melvin.
Love
stock bomber. Rising.
You know, we were talking in the green room before, and Steiny was like, I am loving what the Giants are doing right now. He is very optimistic about Willy Adames.
That's exactly what he said, and he definitely didn't say the exact opposite of that.
Sure. Matt is on 680, wants to join in the conversation. He has an idea about starting JK. I'd love to hear it, Matt.
There are no bad ideas.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
Swell.
Good, good. Yeah, so I agree with what you guys said earlier, that I feel like JK's talent is still not being maximized under Kerr's offense for the past couple years. And he mentioned yesterday that he wants to use the off-season training camp to make sure the guys kind of play together. My idea is that why don't Kerr play, like, why don't he build his offense around JK? Start to, like, open playbooks for him. Because I feel like every time when JK is out there, if he makes a mistake, he's probably worried about, oh, shoot, I'm going to get benched the next game. But when Curry didn't play well, does Curry ever have to worry about, oh, I'm going to get benched the next game? Probably not, because of who he is. But I feel like JK, he's still young, he's immature. But I think his maturity level will come into play every season. But I feel like if they give him the runway to do whatever he wants and build an offense around him, build plays around him, and then, again, just like what you guys are saying, Curry is getting old. That's why he gets hurt when he plays so long. Bring him up the bench. Have him play like 15, 20 like effective minutes.
Yeah.
And I feel like Curry has the ability
Matt,
to...
Yeah, Matt, I don't know. They're not going to bring him off the bench, but I know the point you're getting at overall. They are too Steph-reliant at this point.
Yes.
That is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, you can't be relying solely on a 37 going on 38-year-old Stephen Curry. Like,
no,
that was on full display. As soon as he was gone, the offense was stagnant. He didn't know what to do. And that's why it was so refreshing to see JK at times. And I do think there has to be a lot more wrinkles going into next year when it comes to not JK being the focal point, but Jimmy Butler being that guy, Sam. I do think you're going to have some wrinkles when it comes to catering the offense when Steph's not out there to Jimmy Butler, because you're going to have to stagger those 2 minutes. One of those players is going to have to be at the floor at all times for me going forward next year. If Steph's on the bench, Jimmy's out there. If Jimmy's on the bench, Steph is out there. That is what is going to have to be the recipe for success going forward. And that's why I think JK can be a part of that. But picking up that Jimmy Butler angle and all this, we can kind of shift there.
Yeah, I'm curious on how Jimmy plays into this here.
Because I do think we are a little jaded on these last couple weeks and how it all went down and not winning a game once Stephen Curry got hurt and after stealing game one in Minnesota, failing to win game three or four at home. It was tough, and it was a tough pill to swallow. And you look at the field goal attempts with Jimmy Butler in some of those games, you know, 5-9, 4-11, 6-13, not what you want from your superstar when it comes to going down with the ship, right? You got to go down with your best player, giving you the best opportunity to succeed. And maybe it wasn't Jimmy shooting a bunch. Maybe he just didn't have the looks, as Steve Kerr alluded to with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and they were just trying to force anyone else on the Golden State Warriors to beat them, the Minnesota Timberwolves, that is, the Jonathan Kamingas, the Pods, Draymond Green. You can keep shooting all you want. We'll dare you to. Buddy Hield, same thing. And unfortunately, they weren't able to get it done. But what did you make, Sam, of the Jimmy Butler experience in Golden State? How it started and how it ended in going forward now?
I think it started off as promising as it could have possibly been during the regular season, but I think at the end it left a lot to be desired. Like, I looked at Jimmy Butler's arrival, and maybe I was wrong for looking at it like this. We can be the judge after I explain it. But when I looked at Jimmy Butler's arrival with the Warriors, I kind of figured, like, very similar to when the Warriors signed Kevin Durant, it was Steph insurance. Like, you know, if Steph wasn't available or if Steph had an off night, you had a guy you could turn to who could take the reins, who could take the wheel that Steph is usually driving and keep the ship afloat. You know, it's almost kind of like in football, you know, what's a good backup quarterback? Can you get me a split over the course of however many games I need you to start? I looked at Jimmy Butler's almost kind of similar. Like, if Steph's out for, let's say, six games, just to pick a random number, six games, Jimmy, can you carry this team enough to make sure that we can get at least three of those six games? You know, and this is just in any situation. You know, and I think I put a lot of stock into the legend of playoff Jimmy and believing that And he, this was reaffirmed by things that he said during the year. I can up my scoring when I need to. I can be that guy when the moment calls for it. And I'll be, I got swept up in Jimmy Buckets mania a little bit there because I wanted to believe it. I've seen him do it in the past. I saw him eviscerate the Celtics a couple times in the playoffs when he was with the Miami Heat. Like, we know he is good enough to be that guy. He believed that he was good enough to be that guy.
We know he was good enough.
We got to turn your mic on first.
Oh, I pulled one. There we go. Flag on me. We know he was.
Ray Spadoni.
He was at one point. That's actually my brother's name. He was at
got
one
like 500
point.
Brothers. So.
I got six brothers.
I got
right.
all
Three
the
sisters.
Names.
Yes, there you go.
A lot of names.
Thank you. But he was good enough at one point, Sam.
Yeah.
We know that was.
And that's where I kind of get into where I'm at now with Jimmy Butler is that what we saw in those four games, it was not Jimmy Butler not stepping up, even though, again, you know, his shot totals, you know, 6 of 13 in that first game where, you know, Kerr was just throwing stuff against the wall. 12 of 26, he did as much as he could, 33 points in that game three. And, again, we talked about that game three was the one that got away. He put everything in. It just wasn't enough. And I think that's kind of what it is now with Jimmy Butler is just it's not enough. And that's tough to say because he did ball out as hard as he could. But the Timberwolves, they did focus on him. And so he is no longer that I don't think he could be the insurance policy that I envisioned him to be. And maybe that's on me and other Warrior fans who viewed him as being that guy. But if you're telling me, like, do we think we saw the stretch of February 7th through now, was that the best basketball that we're going to see this trio play? Like, is it all downhill from here? And that's kind of where I get worried about things going forward, because if that is the case, then I don't know if I want to commit to two more years of Jimmy Butler, you know? And that's where I would go into the summer potentially looking at trades for Jimmy Butler. And this isn't me blaming Jimmy for anything. I'm very grateful for what Jimmy brought to this team, very much thankful for his services. But if moving off of Jimmy Butler for someone else makes the team better, as we said the other day, I'm doing that. That said, that might not be the option here. So my concern with Jimmy is just, is he good? Yes. Is he good enough to be the guy that I think we envision him being? That's where I have question marks there. And that's something I think we're going to have to see develop here over, you know, the course of this next season, it seems.
This is where I'm at with Jimmy. I think we would not be looking at Jimmy Butler, or as you're saying, to maybe even move him. I don't think fans would be looking at that. Had Steph gotten ruled out for the entirety of the Western Conference semis when he initially got hurt, I think people would say, you know what? That sucks. Steph got hurt. Season was over right there. Is what it is. The fact that we were told, the fact that it was mic'd up, with Anthony Edwards, with Gary Payton, he's like, you guys are trying to get Steph, what is it called, Wardell, in game six. That's the plan, right? That's the plan. That's what everyone was saying. That's what Steph was on board for. It's the Steve Kerr, the Dr. Rick Celebrini.
It was all the stars were coming together.
And
plans were aligned.
If they didn't say that and they just left it hush-hush, day-to-day, we'll see, I don't think we'd be crushing Jimmy Butler. The fact that you gave the fan base just a little bit of hope that Steph could come back, that's what they're going to cling on to. And the fact that Jimmy wasn't able to win a game because of it, that's why you're down on him right now. Had he been ruled out, no one would have cared. No one would have cared and said, you know what? Oh, he didn't win a game, but it doesn't really matter at this point. So I do think we're kind of unfairly, you know, being a little hard on Jimmy Butler here. The guy was incredible for most of this run.
Mm-hmm.
He totally bought in. He fit into a system that he's never played in before. Fit perfectly, by the way.
Alongside Steph, which is not easy to do.
Stephen Curry went out of his way early on to say, yeah, he's the yin to my yang. I didn't think it was going to work this well. And this was like in game one against Chicago when they had that incredible comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And even Steph Curry said, yeah, I didn't think it'd be this great. And it was great for a long time. You leaned on him when you needed to. When Jimmy went out, Steph stepped up. And I get it. Steph is a generational player. And there's levels to this. It's okay. It's okay to now realize that Jimmy Butler is not on the level of Stephen Curry.
No, I don't think that's not a hot take at all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Take, but I think even myself and you at times, we were saying, wow, this was a best player, Jimmy Butler, on two finals teams in Miami. That's saying something. Not a lot of players can do that. Not a lot of players can say, I was the best player on a team that took two teams to the NBA Finals. There's levels, though. Because there's the LeBrons that do it. There's the Stephs that do it. There's the Kobes that have done it. The Tim Duncans. And then there's the, you know, occasionally, the Jimmy Butlers that have done it. You know, Dirk did it. He won a title. He took two teams to the NBA Finals. Giannis has done it once. KD, with Steph, though, did it a couple times. But prior to that, Oklahoma City just did it once. Hell, guys.
And he had Russ and Harden.
Guys like Damian Lillard, guys like James Harden, as the top dogs, they weren't able to get it done. Now they went into generational teams like those aforementioned Golden State Warriors team. But it's okay to now realize that the 35-year-old Jimmy Butler that the Golden State Warriors have is not the same 32, 31-year-old Jimmy Butler from the Miami Heat.
No, and that's...
That's the realization now.
Yeah.
But he still, I think, could be the second best player on a championship team. Do people still think that Jimmy Butler could be the second best player on a championship team, on this Golden State Warriors team? That's the question.
I'm curious, how many Warrior fans think that the success of the Warriors had post-Jimmy Butler will carry over to next season? You know, again, just a refresher on what that looks like. So, starting on February 7th, when Jimmy first laced up with the Warriors, Warriors went 23-8 the rest of the way. That is a 742 win percentage. And that was the third best record in the NBA that time, second best in the West behind the Thunder. So if in this hypothetical situation I'm going to create here, if the season started on February 7th, Warriors were basically a two seed the rest of the way. That's how well they played.
Exactly. That's what I was mentioning earlier. Yeah,
do you think that kind of level of play, 117 points per game, which was the fifth best in the West in that time, they had 120 offensive rating, which was the fourth best in the West, and 111 defensive rating, which was the best in the West. Do you think, I would be curious, 888-957-9570, how confident are you that that wasn't just a hot 3 month stretch and that was actually just a preview, so to speak, of what's to come this next season? I think theoretically it's possible, but I look at the reality of, you know, you could do that with a 37, 35, 35 year old players over a 3 month stretch. Asking 38, 36, and 36 year old players to do it over an 82 game stretch, it's probably going to not be as close to those numbers, but it's definitely going to be better than what was going on before Jimmy arrived, obviously. Well, it's how confident are you that the trio, the success this trio had and the numbers they put up, how much confidence do you have they can carry that over into the regular season? Because if Jimmy Butler does kind of let, you know, the age does start to get to him and he really isn't that superstar player that he used to be, then I don't know if you're saying the Warriors will be good next year because they were good, you know, during that 3 month stretch this past season, if there's age-related regression there, I don't know if you can bank on that theory coming true in this upcoming season that we're going to be getting
to. Well, we have to also realize that Jimmy Butler wasn't playing a lot of basketball prior to going to the Warriors, so he was relatively fresh in that regard.
Was he fresh or was he rusty?
No, Jimmy Butler was fresh because he wasn't doing anything. He was playing some games. He was wearing some KD sneakers.
Playing dominoes.
Playing dominoes, drinking his coffee. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't playing very hard. He knows that. Everyone knows it. We all saw what took place there. And he came in and he got paid and he was extra motivated there to kind of show the Miami Heat what they missed out on. And we'll see now going forward. I do believe the honeymoon's over when it comes to Jimmy
Butler.
The honeymoon phase is done.
And that actually kind of worries me because now that the fun times are over, like, Jimmy, he could get a little moody at times. Not Moses moody, but he can get a little, he's a kind of mercurial in that sense.
Ooh,
and
big word.
I do kind of get concerned that if things get bumpy at the start of the season, which they can do, a lot of things can happen over an 82-game season, and Jimmy goes from playoff Jimmy to I'm a grumpy guy Jimmy, that's going to spiral this season out of control so fast. And that simply cannot happen. Like, Jimmy Butler, what he did in Miami, that is simply not allowable here with the Warriors when you have Steph Curry. And when he was first traded here, I was doing the show with Evan, and I kind of said, like, this is the best teammate that Jimmy Butler's ever had. And I think the motivation is on Jimmy Butler going into this next season. Yes. Don't be the one guy who couldn't figure it out with Steph. Like, you are never in your career having a – you never have had a player of this caliber as a teammate. You know, we talk about Jonathan Kuminga needs to kind of fall in line, figure out his role. I think the key for Jimmy Butler is don't let this season get into a situation where now you're the guy who couldn't make it work with Steph Curry. Don't let it get to that. I'm not saying it will. Saying let's not let it get to that point.
I don't think that's the case. I think when Steph and Jimmy
Am I sending too negative there?
Well, no, because I do think we're being a little jaded because Steph wasn't out there with Jimmy. I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Had Steph been healthy with Jimmy, like a lot of people seem to think. I'm not going as far as to say they win the series, but it would have gone to six games. At the least, it would have gone to six, maybe seven.
Absolutely.
And maybe you do beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. I do think that game one, we're putting a lot into that. I do think Minnesota had a historically bad shooting night. Like, in the history of their franchise, it was that bad. And some of that is on them. Some of that's on the Warriors, obviously. But I think a lot of that is on Minnesota. Having said that, sure. You could be skeptical a little bit going forward on that tandem because they are older. And there's going to be more wear and tear. But I do think from what we saw, it absolutely works. Steph and Jimmy works. Now, where does it rank now when it comes to tandems in the West? I don't know. I was very high on them. I said they were, at one point, they were the tandem taking over anyone else in the playoffs. That's how highly I felt about them.
Yeah.
That was over Jason Tatum when he was healthy and Jaylen Brown.
And honestly, I don't think you're wrong on that. It's, again, basing off what we've seen last season, yes, there's all potential there, but, you know, the sample size is going to need to be the sample size will need to be a bit bigger next season. And, like, the Warriors had to be as good as they were to just barely get into the playoffs. It's going to be hard to keep up that full level of play for a full season. And, I don't know, that's not going to disqualify them from playoff contention. They'll still be in it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a part of me that wonders. I do think that stretch we saw was the best stretch we'll see with this trio. And if that's the case, then, you know, that makes it even harder to imagine this team getting over that final hump and getting back to the finals. And, again, all of this show, I believe, today, Spadoni, all these conversations we're having about Kuminga, all these conversations we're having about Jimmy Butler and Steve Kerr, all of this is all in an effort to, as I said at the start of the show, get Steph, an all-time legend, a final ring, because you have to do everything you can to maximize the window of players of that caliber. And if this is the best that we've seen of that trio, then it'll be fun basketball maybe the next 2 years, but it's not going to accomplish that ultimate goal of getting one for the thumb for Steph Curry and getting, you know, finishing with that fifth ring. And which seems like, again, 10 years ago, if you were saying this is what we're complaining about, I would have said you're crazy just because of how far. But that's the situation the Warriors find themselves in. And I just it feels like it's going to be harder to get back to that point if there is a regression next
week. We got Bonta Hill joining us in about 3 minutes here in studio for the full 9 o'clock hour. In the meantime, let's go to Bob in San Francisco.
What's up,
wants
Bob?
To join the Warriors talk. Bob, good morning. You're on the morning roast.
Hey, good morning. So basically, Steve Kerr said it best. He said that, you know, it was an incredible run to get to the seventh seed. So the idea is to have that kind of intensity earlier in the season, go through half the season playing good basketball, and then you can start to rest your starters, right? Start to rest them, get them ready for the playoffs, provided that we have a decent record that we know where we're going to be. And then that's pretty much how it makes good sense to me. And then as far as the championships go, you know, yes, the one for the thumb for Steph, but come on, that should motivate the rest of the team to have a championship, right? I mean, it's a team sport.
Yeah. Oh, well, absolutely.
You're not wrong.
They're only motivated by championships at this point in their careers. That's what they want. It went from meaningful games last year. The expectations were not championship. Now that you got to the Western Conference semis with Jimmy, absolutely the goal is a championship. That's baked into the DNA of all these guys. Hey, hell, Moses Moody's a champion. He did play a little bit on that run, a little bit.
He knows what it takes to even that he was on the team. He understands what the process is like.
Kevon Looney, Gary Payton, like those were integral parts then of championship runs. So yes, they all understand the goal. Now, can they withstand the gauntlet of an 82 game regular season? I have my doubts. I have my concerns. But once they get to the playoffs, barring health, that's the only thing it comes down to. Which again. Comes back to the Jonathan Kuminga conversation. Do I want to move off a guy that's 22 years old?
I think you need him more to get through the race. I am more worried about the regular season than the playoffs, honestly, which is, again, a wild thing to say. But
it matters.
I do trust this team's championship medal in the game-to-game grind that is the postseason. Steve Kerr said it best on Willard Dibbs at the end of the season. He likes the playoffs because he can focus more on one opponent. Whereas during the regular season, you know, they're just kind of playing a general game plan because they don't have the time to just sit there and game plan for every opponent. I trust this team and I trust this coaching staff in a 7-game series to, I'm not going to say figure out and automatically win, but like, let's say if the Warriors were playing right now, fully healthy, let's say Steph never gets injured, Warriors beat the Timberwolves and blah, 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 blah amount of games, and they're playing the Thunder right now. Am I coming into that series thinking, oh man, the Warriors, they got this? Probably not. But I am absolutely expecting the Warriors to come in with a game plan that's going to make life absolute hell for Oklahoma City, for the Oklahoma City Thunder in that situation. So absolutely bullish on what these team can do in the playoffs. It's just a matter of can they get over that?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.